Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Ray Keating's here, too. Ray is a great member of our Brain Trust, a good friend, a longtime hanger-outer here at on the Small Business Advocate Show. But he also hangs out over at the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, where he is the chief economist. He writes for a number of publications. He's the author of a number of books, including his new one, which I know he's so proud of, Chuck Versus the World, Business Tips on TV. And he's our good friend, Ray Keating. Welcome back.
Morning, Jim. How are you?
Doing great. It's good to have you back. So, jobs. I am so disgusted with the manipulation of the jobs numbers, Ray. There's never been a time in my life, maybe not even in the history of America, when we've had as convoluted, as multifaceted an unemployment scenario as we have right now. And to simply throw out an unemployment number that takes only some of the unemployed into consideration and call that our number that we rest our policies on, in my opinion, is malpractice, political, governmental malpractice at least, and it's criminal at worst. What do you think?
How do you really feel? I mean, tell us.
Yeah, I'm really ticked off about it. It's just it doesn't address what's really wrong, and that's the big problem.
Well, you've always got to. I've never used as my key indicator the unemployment rate, because there's two sides of that. You've got to look, obviously, in terms of how many jobs are added, but you also have to look at how many people are actually in the labor force. And that's where, you know, things get tricky. And this last jobs report, while, you know, I would argue that when you crawl inside the numbers, it's certainly better than what we've seen recently, but you also have to separate things out. So when you, and then...
It's a better number. And I'm not saying there are not no jobs being included, no net new jobs happening, but don't make it sound like, you know, don't take a victory lap with these numbers. That's
right.
What gets me.
Right, and that's absolutely correct. And it's very easy, because things have been so bad. You know, we had a terrible recession, one of the worst on record since the Great Depression. And why people still feel like we're in a recession is because the recovery is so bad. So understanding that, you know, you get a little bit that's positive, and people start jumping up and down and singing and dancing, and there's no reason to do that. The other thing I was going to say, just from a technical standpoint, is that there's also an adjustment in the population survey that happens at the beginning of the year. So then you get into a situation of how do you compare January to December and all these things, and I won't bore you with that. But the bottom line here is that, yes, there was an increase in job creation in January compared to, you know, same type of data the previous month. So that's a good thing. But also, in terms of the population readjustment, it turns out we knew the labor force participation rate, that the labor force was suffering, that people were dropping out, discouraged, so on. Well, it actually turns out that after they did the adjustments, it's even worse than we thought. And when you look at the labor force participation rate, as it's updated with the new population survey, it's the lowest level since March of 1983.
Participation rate. You're talking about the number of people working compared to how many could be working.
Working or seeking work. So they're in the labor force, whether they're employed or not.
Up against the total capacity of workers,
correct,
from inventory of workers for in America.
You got it, right.
That's the number we should be tracking. We have 150 million Americans who could be working. We have 130 million working. We have 20 million not working. Those are my numbers, folks. I'm just using the example, right, Ray?
Right, but it's also, if you're not working, are you in the labor force, though? Are you seeking work? Do you want work? Or have you dropped out altogether? See, that's the thing. The labor force participation rate shows people that are either working or in the labor force somehow, you know, looking for work. Then you've got the that other share is are the people that have just given up.
That's right. But they're still unemployed and they're still unproductive, and they don't necessarily want to be.
Exactly. That's absolutely right. And that's been a major issue. That's been a very big issue in this recession/dismal recovery, is that you've had it's been very unusual when you track the data over the decades to see a decline in the labor force that we've seen.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, Ray, and say that what we're seeing, and I indicated this earlier in our visit, what we're seeing right now is a scenario that's never happened before in the history of America. And especially when you throw in the structural unemployment. And Ray, here's another thing to think about. In past recoveries, people like me in 89 who got canned in 89 and started my own business, I went off the unemployment rolls. I was still unemployed because I wasn't making any money, but I started my own business, so I didn't get counted. But at least I started something. I employed myself somehow. That's not happening this time.
You're absolutely right, and that's a very another big concern.
And that's unique. This is unique in history.
Unfortunately, we have too many unique factors.
Yes.
When you look at economic history, U.S. economic history, and what's been going on.
Which is why I'm saying you can't just scroll over, stick out the new unemployment number and take a victory lap.
Oh, no. I mean, you got to deal with this realistically and look at the entire picture and all aspects of the picture. And the bottom line is, yes, can we take some hope away from the numbers that we saw this previous month? Yes. Is there anything here to celebrate? In terms of as if we've gotten back on track and we're growing robustly, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Well, if you think about it, it's not even close to the number of jobs that was created is not even close to the number of jobs that are gonna cover the people who are entering the marketplace. New workers.
Well, the most recent month, when you look at both the payroll data and the household survey and you look at the actual numbers, that's one month where I can say yes. It would, but this is one month, and one month does not a trend make. Mm-hmm. And we've got to realize that there's a heck of a lot more that has to change in this country, especially on the policy front, because I think the major issue here, it's not that, this argument that we still have a hangover from the credit meltdown of 2008. That's baloney.
Yeah.
The problem here are government policies.
Right.
That are creating uncertainty, that are discouraging entrepreneurship, and that are raising costs.
The job, and this is another felonious issue here to me, Ray, is that for politicians, any politician to claim credit for these jobs, in my opinion, is shameless, because these jobs are being created in spite of politicians, in spite of the political class, in spite of government policies, as you indicated. Quick break, right back with Ray Keating after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.